This episode of This Week in Wealth is sponsored by Alpha Wealth Group. Tom Fortino is an investment advisor representative of Retirement Wealth Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered advisor. WGN Radio and RWA are not affiliated. Here's WGN Radio's Elise Glink and Alpha Wealth Group's Tom Fortino.
Good morning, Chicago, and welcome to the first edition of This Week in Wealth. It's always a very special thing when you start a new radio show, and I'm delighted to be here with you. I'm Elise Glink. I'm a WGN talk show host. I'm a financial journalist. I'm also the CEO of Best Money Moves, a financial wellness technology company.
And I'm Tom Fortino. I'm the founder and principal of the Alpha Wealth Group in Oakbrook Terrace.
So, we're super excited to be here with you every morning. And what we're trying to do with This Week in Wealth is talk about the business news that matters to you. We're also going to answer questions that you have about your money, whether it's retirement planning or investing, cash, income, tax, estate planning, investments. I mean, there's a host of things that go into money. And of course, we plan to solve the rest of the world's problems, at least those of, when it comes to money, that is.
That's right. You bring up a lot of things, Elise, and that's just the whole point here. There's so many things to understand, and this can be very confusing. And so we want to boil it down to stories, you know, personal things that we deal with, how we help solve the individual's problems and family's problems that have to deal with all of these things that come at you all at once. So I'm excited to. There's so much to get into, and that's the goal. If you can come away with a couple ideas or some things that can add value to what you're doing, we've had a successful show.
Yeah, and I should mention that if you ever want to reach out to Tom, you know, personally or directly, you should just go to their website, alphawealthgroup.com. All right. So, Tom, there's, you know, like every week, I always say this, there's so much news about business and there's so much news about money, you know, whether it's the stock market hitting, it seems like new highs every week, because that's, of course, the only direction the stock market goes in, or mortgage interest rates, which seem to only hit historic lows every single week, which is, of course, the only direction mortgage interest rates go in, right? But there's also talk about people every week just coming into extraordinary amounts of wealth. And it feels like overnight. I mean, just like sports figures that land nine-figure deals, you know, pitchers that get $140 million, or, you know, even people who win millions in golf tournaments, right?
There's so much. I just saw the other day, the youngest billionaire, 26 years old, he designed this technology for self-driving vehicles. So there's all of this money out there. And so, let's not forget cryptocurrencies, all these, you know.
Oh, yes. The pennies people who are inventing crypto, right? There's that. There's SPACs, special purpose acquisition companies that go public that suddenly, you know, boom, you've got, we talked about the stock market hitting new highs. But there's also things like industries from COVID. I think COVID alone made something like 5 or 10 new billionaires, people who were just ordinary research scientists, but their research thing hit. And that's why we got the Moderna vaccine. We got Pfizer's vaccine. And instantly, some of those people, they had their companies acquired and they became kind of insta-billionaires.
Yeah. So the question is, you know, as we sit back and we watch this, I think a lot of people too, one of the things, I guess, when you speak about COVID that came with this, with these instant billionaires and the money, you know, you look at Robin Hood, you see all these people that have gotten involved in the investment world that otherwise didn't. And so I think that's a, you know, it's so hard when you say a positive from all of this, these terrible things, but I think it's a positive because more people have become aware of the investment world and being involved, and maybe more aware of what's going to happen with their money and what they need to, how they need to, maybe need to be more proactive, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's so funny. So many people made so much money that the few people who won hundreds of millions of dollars in the lottery this year, I mean, we had some of the biggest lottery pots in the history of jackpots in this country, and those pale into comparison by, you know, to some of the other things that people have done. But I don't want to leave out other kinds of wealth, because most of us aren't going to come into $1 billion in their lives, but what we might get is some sort of significant inheritance. And so when you think about it, and I know you have just hundreds and hundreds of clients, and we're going to talk about those as, you know, the show goes on, and I know lots of people with lots of money, but one of the ways that people suddenly come into money is with an inheritance. And right now, we're in the middle of the largest wealth transfer in history, as the elder baby boomers and the generation beyond them are now passing, and then they're passing their wealth on to their children and in some cases their grandchildren. What are you seeing with your clients, you know, when it comes to this kind of, you know, inheritance and wealth transfer?
Well, you know, I've been doing this over 25 years, I think now, but
happy anniversary.
Yeah, thanks. You know, estate legacy planning is one of those pieces, I think, of your plan that is critical. I always say there's five pieces. Estate and legacy planning is one of them. And a lot of times these are problems, I like to say, that are asleep. We don't think about them. But when assets are transferring, either you're going to make the decisions during your lifetime or someone else is going to make them for you.
Yeah.
So, you know, you really need to look at how are these assets going to transfer. The first part of that, there's a tax issue to it, but there's also understanding how are my assets titled? Who are the beneficiaries on them? Do you know? Do you have the right documents in place? I had an attorney I worked with, and we have attorneys that are part of our group that do these things. I'm not the attorney, but he used to say, look, if you have a bank account and a home, you should have a trust. Okay. And I agree with that statement. So, you know, how many of you have a living trust? Powers of attorney, medical powers of attorney, financial powers of attorney, pour over wills. And so if you don't have these documents in place, someone's going to make decisions for you. And so this is why it's so critical. And I'm so adamant when I have clients and I say, you know, this is kind of a non-negotiable. You have to have an estate plan in place because I say in one way, shape or form, either your assets are going to flow through these documents or they will be controlled by these documents. And I've been doing this, as I said, a long time. This has been generational. And so I've had clients, for example, I had a husband and wife over 20 years. The husband passed away. The wife recently passed away in her 90s. God bless her. But before that happened, she was incapacitated. This is the common story.
Yeah.
And went into a nursing facility, unfortunately. Well, guess what? We had a power of attorney. So the son had a financial power of attorney, could access the accounts, could write checks. There was no court system that got involved, no judge. That's a financial power of attorney, which we should all have. Especially those with older parents. Do you have a power of attorney for them? Because if you don't, you cannot make decisions. And then ultimately she passed away. And guess what? We had a living trust. And so they were able, with our help, they're still my clients, to actually have access to those documents because a living trust, unlike assets titled in your name, a trust survives you. A trust doesn't die. A trust doesn't get sick. So it never goes to probate court. So these are things that we should be looking at. Absolutely.
I think so. And I really, it's sort of interesting. We've thrown a lot of jargon at people and I'm yeah. always one of these no jargon zones. So I think we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, I think one of the things that I want to do, Tom, is have you just, so we're all on the level playing field, just mm-hmm. talk a little bit about the different kinds of trusts that are out there. Because, you know, you talk about a living trust, which is really right. designed to sort of smoothly transfer assets, right? But it doesn't Correct. Do anything with estate planning. All right. Yep. It doesn't hit taxes at all. It just literally will transfer ownership without having to go to probate court. Whereas there are different kinds of generational skipping trusts and other kinds of mm-hmm. trusts that you can employ. So we're going to take the short break. When we come back, more about retirement and all of these different wills and powers of attorney that you need. And we're even going to talk about what to do with money in retirement. You're listening to This Week in Wealth on 720 WGN. Welcome back to This Week in Wealth. I'm Elise Kling, CEO of Best Money Moves and a WGN radio talk show host. And I'm with Tom Fortino. He is founder of Alpha Wealth Group, and we are talking about your money in retirement. So before the break, Tom, we were talking a little bit about the different types of paperwork that you have mm-hmm. to have. And I think this is such a great place to start this show because, you know, people don't really know what paperwork they need to have and they don't even know what it means. And during the break, I was saying to you how, you know, power of, you know, when you have, well, we didn't even talk power of attorney, but when you have a trust, there's so mm-hmm. many different kinds of trusts. So why don't we just start there, define for everybody so we're all on the same page, jargon-free zone.
Okay.
Tell me about the different kinds of trusts that you recommend for your clients.
Well, I'll try to say jargon.
Not
free.
All of them, just a few.
No, we'll start won't get into every type of trust. But, I mean, I'll start with the most fundamental or basic trust. And you hear these terms, revocable living trust. They're basically the same thing. We talk about this is the most, I'd say, basic of trust to have, which is this revocable living trust. And the benefit of having this trust, it's a document, it's a legal document, but it can hold title, unlike a will. And so, you know, if you create the Smith Family Trust or the Smith Revocable Trust, now your home can say the Smith Family Trust. You can hold title. Your bank account could say the Smith Family Trust. So that's the benefit of having a trust, many reasons. Number one, as I said, trusts don't die. Now it's title to a trust. And so, you know, that means it does not go through a probate court system. It is totally private. You can put the people you want in charge of it. And certainly then it goes to your children and grandchildren in the manner you choose. All good things. I sometimes say it is arguably one of the best things you can do for your family.
So a living trust is just kind of your basic document. In most states, you can go to your state law and literally copy and paste the trust language, can't you, for a living trust?
You can.
I know you can in the state of Illinois.
Yeah, you can create trusts. I would advise, you know, an attorney or someone you're confident with. I mean, they have the Susie Orman things that you can, then these trust packages you can buy.
Trust off the shelf.
Right.
Trust 101. It's not something
dummies
you want to mess.
Trust for dummies or whatever.
Yeah, right. Trust for dummies. In trust, we trust. But, you know, it's mostly, though, that's what I would call kind of your most simple basic trust, right? Mm-hmm. This is the basic thing that moves the ownership from one person to another, and you can avoid probate. And there's lots of things. The biggest mistake I see people make with trusts of any sort, any different kind, is they never actually put the assets into the trust.
Yeah.
So they open the trust. It's empty. It's like a box. You have to put things in the box or the box stays empty. And do you find that with your clients that they just don't ever retitle?
I've seen that happen many times. You know, you do a trust, you go somewhere, and then you put it on a shelf. You don't look at it for 3 years. And in many cases, you don't put your assets in the trust. So if you're getting a bank statement, see it very often, and it says John and Jean Smith, and doesn't say the Smith Family Trust, it's not in your trust.
Yeah.
And so it's that, you're right, Elise. That is so critical, because if it isn't in your trust, you've kind of defeated the whole purpose. So there's two steps to it. One, create the trust. Second, fund the trust. Retitle assets to the trust. You know, in some cases, you may hate, the trust can be a beneficiary on your life insurance. So everything can flow through this trust. It's like a conduit to your family, to your children and grandchildren. So that's important to set these things up. Again, unlike a will, and just to clarify, wills are for probate court. They do not avoid probate court. So that's a difference, a major difference when we talk about wills and trusts. So this is why, you know, again, for your family, really, living trusts, there's, you know, people have asked me, I don't know how you feel about it, Elise, but, you know, what's the downside to a trust? And I get that question once in a while.
What's your answer? Do you have any? I mean, it would seem to me there's very little that's wrong with a trust.
Other than you're going to have to do a little work. You're going to have to get it set up. You're going to have to put one in place, and you're going to have to fund it or retitle assets to it.
And there's the rub for some people, because when you retitle assets, but you have, for example, let's say it's a house. Mm-hmm. And you retitle that asset, but there's a mortgage attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's a lot of people who worry about that low interest mortgage getting called because they're retitling the trust. Do you ever have that issue pop up?
Never have that issue. Sometimes they have to. The mortgage company gets a little funny about things. If you're going through a refi, I should say. But if you're not refinancing, it's really a non-issue, because it's just a matter of registering. We're doing a quit claim deed, Q-U-I-T-A, quit claim deed with the Register of Deeds and retitling it to your trust. It will not impact your mortgage. That's a great question, because I do get people that ask that question. Hey, what happens? So unless you're doing a refinance, it's usually a non-issue. And so it's fairly straightforward when you do that with a trust.
All right. So we've got our trust. We know what that is. Talk about a will, because I think, again, people do get confused. They're like, well, if everything's in the trust, what do I need a will for? And my answer would be, because not everything goes in the trust. But what's your answer?
Well, you know, the attorneys still draft a will. Now, I'll make a comment, and I'm quoting the attorneys. You know, in the state of Illinois, if your assets exceed $100,000 or you have real property, regardless of the value, I mean, if you have a piece of land, you have real estate, it will go through probate court if it's in your name as an individual, right? Assets are frozen if there is a deceased person on the asset. So it's going to go to probate. The reason we draft, or the attorneys draft, a will with is, I call it a just in case, maybe a pour over will. Because if assets that you don't title to your trust, assets that could be exposed to probate, well, now you have a document for that. You hope you don't use it, but you have it. I call it the just in case. Sometimes referred to as a pour over will, but you want to have that in addition to the trust.
So I think that's a really good idea. Wills are good for other things too, right? Because if you've got minor children, for example, you need to name your guardians and what you want to have done with that. It's a nice way to explain why you've excluded Uncle James from your Uncle James from your will. Or you can explain other things that you want to have happen. So, mm-hmm. for example, if there's things that have non-monetary value, but you've got, let's say, family keepsakes, and you want mm-hmm. to make sure that the right person gets those keepsakes, a will is useful for that. Or you could do what my great aunt Jean and Uncle Meyer did, which is they put yellow stickies on everything. And so,
on the back, right?
They were, right? Or so there's there's a humidor that's been in my family for probably over 100 years. It was brought from, you know, well, obviously 150 years now. It was brought from the old country, wherever, whichever country that was. I don't know. The lines changed, mm-hmm. you know, many times over the years. But they wanted my husband, Sam, to get it, who's not a direct descendant of Aunt Jean and Uncle Meyer and doesn't smoke, by the way.
Yeah.
They wanted him to have that humidor. And so it's sitting in our living room. And she, I think if you open the door, the little yellow sticky that Aunt Jean wrote on is still inside of it.
That's good. It should be.
But I think a will is a more effective way than yellow stickies,
probably.
Which can fall off, right?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, like you said, a will is, if for those that have minor children, guardianship, of course, you have to, you know, that's going to go through the court system. They're just going to, that's one important part of it. You know, for personal property, you can do the sticky notes. But, you know, I would advise people to do, sometimes it's referred to as a personal property memorandum or some type of, you know, you want to do that. That's for the really detailed person. You know, any of your wishes regarding anything is would be, you know, last wishes. What about your funeral or what do you want to have done? I mean, you know, I always say, look, your children and grandchildren, typically it isn't about the money. Yes, they may inherit some, but it's about fulfilling your wishes. And when they don't know what your wishes are, wow, that's a tough thing. You know, you got six kids sitting around the table saying, what did mom and dad want us to do? And so this is why I made the comment earlier and I still stick by it. This is one of the best things you can do. Is create these documents, not only the trust, the will that you just spoke of, the pour over will, the powers of attorney.
Let's just quickly go through powers of attorney, because there's powers of attorney for financial matters and for health care.
Well, again, you're designating that person that you're saying, not again having a court determine who it is, you're designating a person to be your financial, who can sign checks for you, who can act as your, as though they're you. You know, I give the example of anyone who has a retirement account, an IRA, a 401k. It can only be titled in your name. You cannot joint title it. So if you're incapacitated, that asset's frozen, right? Unless you have a power of attorney.
Yeah.
And so this is why it's so critical, because again, unless you have a financial power of attorney, I've said, you know, have your spouse call your IRA or 401k provider. They won't talk to them. It's not going to happen. So that's why you need these. This is why it's critical. And the medical power of attorney is for medical decisions. You can see why these are so important. I mean, how can it get more important than that, right?
No. And then, for example, people will work with their investment advisors. I'm sure you see this a lot. You know, and the attorney is somebody different, and they don't leave a list of important people to contact. Who even has the paperwork, right? Who is the attorney for the estate?
Absolutely.
And if it's that, you know, if that's you, like, do you, as their investment advisor, do you normally also keep a list of important people, whether it's, you know, doctor, lawyers, you know, different kinds of people who are part of that process, so that people have a roadmap after somebody's passed, especially if it's sudden?
Yes, that's very important, Elise, to have, you know, some coordination. And, you know, you got communication. It's critical in relationships. It's criminal in any type of relationship.
We're going to talk about money and relationships in the show, Tom.
At
I'm
some
definitely,
point, right?
We definitely have to do it. But we are out of time for today, believe it or not. That is it for this week in wealth. We hope you enjoyed it. You can find me at bestmoneymoves.com or on Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, or Facebook, or just go to the WGNradio.com page. And if you'd like to ask Tom a question, be sure to go to alphawealthgroup.com, click on radio, fill out the form. Somebody will get in touch with you shortly. And in a few weeks, we're going to let you know how you can ask your question on air directly to Tom. Until then, here's to your wealth. Tom, thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, thank you for hosting this, and I think it was a great start.
I think so, too. We'll see you next week, everybody.
Tom Fortino is an investment advisor representative of Retirement Wealth Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered advisor. Alpha Wealth Group, WGN, and RWA are not affiliated. Exposure to ideas and financial vehicles discussed should not be considered investment advice or recommendation to buy or sell any financial vehicle. This information should not be considered tax or legal advice. Individuals should consult with professionals specialized in fields of tax, legal, accounting, or investments regarding the applicability of this information for their situation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Investments will fluctuate, and when redeemed, may be worth more or less than when originally invested. Any comments regarding safe and secure investments and guaranteed income streams refer only to fixed insurance products. They do not refer in any way to securities or investment advisory products. Fixed insurance and annuity product guarantees are subject to the claims paying ability of the issuing company and are not offered by retirement wealth advisors. Insurance and annuities offered through Alpha Wealth Group, licensed in Illinois.